Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, I am your host Al Martin, coming to you all with yet another entertaining edition of WKAR's Current Sports. On today's show, I'm going to do something a bit different because I had the absolute privilege of being chosen as the moderator for a video series that the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences here at Michigan State University has been putting together in order to educate and enlighten our public on what we're going through throughout this pandemic. And this week, of course, the topic was, bingo, sports. And what is the future of sports? The title of this video webinar series is Pivoting in the Pandemic. And I had the opportunity to host what really was a Zoom session with three panelists that are just special. I got the chance to, and they're all MSU alum, I got the chance to talk with Jeff Gibner, who is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of four Atlanta-based regional sports networks like Fox Sports South, Fox Sports Carolinas, Fox Sports Tennessee, and Fox Sports Southeast. Also, and I want to throw out there, Jeff is a 1980 telecom Michigan State grad. Also, Jason Hillman, who is a 1994 Michigan State grad. He got his degree in journalism. He was named as the basketball chief of staff slash team counsel in July of 2017 after having spent the prior 12 years of his career with the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers on the business side, most recently as senior VP and general counsel. So Jason Hillman of the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers, and also Matt McConnell, who is a 1985 Michigan State telecom grad. He is the play-by-play announcer for the NHL's Phoenix Coyotes. All MSU grads, all incredibly talented individuals, all giving insight into where we go now in terms of the sporting world. So I want to play for you guys a bit of this webinar, and you'll get to hear different insights from both Matt, Jason, and Jeff about where we're headed. And I want to start here, though. I began that webinar by asking them how the coronavirus pandemic has impacted them both professionally and personally, starting with Jeff.
Wow. So, you know, professionally, we're in the business of televising sports, and it is completely shut down. And, you know, I think the most important thing from the very first day, and it was, I remember that Thursday morning after the NBA on Wednesday night realized that, you know, they canceled the game. There was a couple games that were in progress. And we had an all-staff meeting, and that morning we said, by the end of business Friday, everyone's working from home. We don't know what the future holds. Many of us who've been in the industry a long time have been through a labor dispute in one league or another. But this shut everything down across the board. And it just made it so difficult. And you didn't know, you know, we're human beings. We like certainty. We like to know what we're dealing with so that we can formulate a plan. And it's been impossible to do that. I mean, even today, we can't formulate a plan until we fully understand, you know, when sports return and under what conditions it return. So for me personally, you know, like all of us, you are passionate about what you do. You're very invested in your staff and, you know, you want to fix things. You want to put a plan together. And it's just, you know, it's almost 2 months now of not being able to do that. I think we're toward the end of it, but, you know, as more information flows, you know, there's probably more questions that need to be asked. So.
What about for you, Matt, the most challenging part of the pandemic personally and professionally?
Well, you know, I had a conversation with our head coach, Rick Tockett, not too long after it began. And I asked him, you know, what's the hardest for you? And it turned out to be kind of the hardest for me as well, is just the unknown. Are you going to play? Are you going to shut down? Is this it until training camp? Will training camp start on time? What's the future going to look like? And that, you know, I have to admit that was unsettling. I think the news that we've gotten in the last few days, especially on the hockey front, now that the NHL has moved on to phase two, it gives you hope that maybe there's that light at the, you know, at the end of the proverbial tunnel and that we'll get playing again. I tend to agree with Jeff. I think we're kind of moving towards that area, but it's been tough. You know, at one point in our house, you know, my wife, she's a financial analyst. She is working out of the house. We have a daughter who's a freshman at UNLV up in Vegas. She had to come home and finish here at the house. And my mother-in-law was here. She planned on being here for 10 days, and she stayed for 2.5 months because we were afraid to put her on a plane to go back to East. So I think it's uncertainty, but I also think through a lot of it, everyone, you learn to adapt, you learn to evolve, and you learn to maybe do something for the community to give back a little bit, help where you can help. So it's in some of those areas as well.
Yeah, that is very, very true, Matt. All right, what about for you, Jason?
I would echo what Matt and Jeff said. I think for all three of us, we're in a business that is by definition public. And so it is not only the fear of the unknown and the uncertainty and the notion that the people that we work for, our fans, the people we work with, want answers and they want that certainty. We're trying to do this in real time, and it plays out very publicly, right? Everything that we do, every decision that we make is on Twitter, and it's on SportsCenter, or it's on a regional sports network, and a sports show from that capacity, or it's in the newspaper and online immediately. So these issues are complicated for everybody. For us, all of a sudden, they're broadcast. And so you're making those decisions in real time, but you're also being evaluated in real time, right? By our fans, our constituents, everybody else that we do business with. And I think that's probably the most difficult thing professionally. Personally, I would say it's actually been the opposite. It's for us, you know, it's been an unintended silver lining, and I don't say that lightly at all. But my wife travels for business all the time. I'm on the road all the time for business, and all of a sudden we're at home and we've had dinner together, 60 consecutive nights with our three daughters, and that never ever ever happens. So I certainly wouldn't hope that it took a global pandemic for something like that to happen. But it ended up being the very unintended silver lining in a very bad situation.
Yeah, you're hearing that a lot, right? Those who live these uber busy lives, and we're always on the grind, right? If there's any positive that has come out of this, it is that we do get to spend more time with our family. So definitely true there. Okay, and we've been having this conversation since sports, you know, came to a halt across the board here in America. I want to know from you guys, how do you define what the new normal is for the immediate future of sports? This time I'll start with Matt here.
Well, Al, I think we have an idea of what maybe the new normal is going to be. And but I don't think we're at the end where we know what it will be for sure. I'll look at it from a play-by-play standpoint. I think, from a production standpoint, there's the term in the business is called a Remy. I think there's kind of movement afoot to maybe make sports production remote-based in terms of, maybe doing it from a studio, doing it from, there's technology now in cloud technology. Mobile Television Group came out with a whole new platform not too long ago. But I certainly hope that when we get on the other side of it, I'm hoping that the talent, that's not my word, trust me, I've been called a lot worse, but the talent, the play-by-play guy, the analyst, the sideline, and all of that will still have an opportunity to fulfill their duties as they have in the past, and that's being on site because of all the things that go into a show. I'm fully resigned to the fact that to finish this season, based on our situation, we will probably be doing our shows remotely, and I get that. That's the sign of the times. But it'll definitely take an adjustment if that becomes full time in the future, and I certainly hope it doesn't, because I think we need to figure out a way where maybe we remotely do broadcast that way if it turns out to be the direction of the business. But I do think that we need to figure out a way where the people who are near the team and around the team and the eyes and the ears of the team can certainly still be that to communicate to the rest of the crew. I don't think we know where we're at. We don't, you can't have... I read something somewhere where at our arena, Gila River Arena, we seat about 17,200. If you were to social distance, and even if you were to make up for families sitting together, you could only have a capacity of 2,500 or 3,000. So I think we need to get it right. And certainly moving forward, I hope that we take these lessons and apply them to future pandemics, because it's going to happen sooner or later again. So hopefully we learn a lot and we can streamline moving forward.
What about for you, Jeff? I know you guys are having those kind of conversations over at Fox Sports. How do you define what the new normal is for the immediate future of sports?
Yeah, I don't think we're even close to understanding the new normal. I think the very first step is the return of sport. And, as it relates to, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, in the next, remaining hour here, hockey yesterday, their plan is to have the 12 teams in the East and the 12 teams in the West each play their respective games in one hub city. So I think there's 10 cities that are being looked at to house all the Western Conference games and a separate city to house all the Eastern Conference games. And what will happen most likely is there will be an entity, whether it's ESPN or NBC or whoever, and they'll provide what we call a pool feed, and they'll provide, clean pictures and natural sound. And to Matt's point, he'll be sitting in a studio somewhere and looking at a wall of monitors, and he'll be calling the action far away from whatever arena that is. And I don't think that's the new normal. I mean, now, admittedly, it has been done for quite a long time. The World Cup on Fox Broadcast Network last year or 2 years ago, whenever it was, a lot of the early round games were done that way, where announcers are sitting in the Fox lot in Hollywood, or Century City, rather, and they're calling feeds from across the world on screen. But I don't see that ever being the normal for the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, because we are so about storytelling and capturing emotion and all those things. So I think what Matt speaks of is the Remy, we call it at-home productions, which is really in our studio, is the intermediary step. One thing about sports production is we love the big events. If you look at Fox, always trying to do the next big thing. So I don't think there's a long-term plan to go simple and sterilize a telecast. I do think that's, that's the first step of returning, but I don't think that's the new normal. Last thing I'll say about that is, producing games without fans in stands means you can move cameras closer to the field of play. You can do different things with audio because there's going to be less sound you're competing with. You might be able to pick up players talking on the bench or a coach yelling at players on a basketball court. And I think what we learn from those unique opportunities in these sterile environments might influence future production of sport, but I don't see as a rule of thumb calling it off of monitors in the future.
Gotcha. Yeah, that will certainly be interesting. Getting a chance to get that kind of view up close and personal with these athletes, probably some banter or some trash talk. I would imagine, Jeff, that you got to have that thing on the delay, right? Just to make sure. No fines.
Station to figure out.
Yeah, well, trust me, we've had more than a few requests to get those guys mic'd up a lot more. We get that. Listen, as a fan, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I think what's interesting about what we see changing is the innovation that Jeff just touched on. And it's interesting. Our mothership, if you will, our parent company, which is Quicken Loans, fastens and fancies itself not as a mortgage company, which is their prime business, but rather a technology company that happens to sell mortgages. And in much the same way, we see that as our role at the Cavaliers. We're a basketball team, but at the end of the day, and now more than ever, we're a technology company. We're a media company. We may be a real estate developer in some fashion in terms of what we do that happens to also play basketball. And so I think you're going to see a lot of sports teams, lots of franchises at this point, spread their wings and start trying to innovate even more so than they have. Jeff mentioned the camera angles. I think you'll see more innovative production of our games for the time being and a great laboratory experiment to find out what works best. More innovation, more connection and interconnectivity with the viewers on almost an on-demand basis for camera angles and things of that nature. I think what speaks to me the most about sports and the quote-unquote new normal is, I don't know about you guys, I watched the match the other day on that golf course in Florida like it was game 7 of any World Series. I was completely hooked. And so why were you hooked? Number one, the competition, right? I mean, that was four of the best at what they do, albeit not two of the best golfers maybe at what they do. So the competition, the camaraderie, the polite digs back and forth, you know, among teammates and across the aisle as well. Those dynamics of sports are not changing. It's what we all love about sports. And I think we saw a little glimpse of that on Sunday, and that's the demand that we're all going to have to get back on the ice, get back on the court, get back on the field. That stuff's not changing. Some of these other aspects you may see be in a transition phase, right? We may see some of that with fewer fans in the building for the short term. I think ultimately we get back to a situation where we've got full stadiums and full arenas. It just may take a little bit.
Yeah, we are all starving for any kind of sports right now. And I read somewhere earlier this week that the Mets, too, with Phil and Tiger and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, the ratings rivaled that of the premiere of the Last Dance Chicago Bulls documentary that captivated us for 5 weeks. Right. So that really puts things in perspective. So I got one more before we get to our question submissions from our registered viewers here watching live. What have been the discussions within your organizations about how to keep everyone safe and what kind of protocol there is if there is some kind of an outbreak? I'll start with you, Jason, this time.
So, you know, it's a great question, and it goes back to something that I said off the top in my initial response, and that is this situation has been fluid, and it's changed literally. At one point, it was changing hour to hour, if not minute by minute. And so from a leadership perspective, one of the things that was incumbent upon us was to take as much information as we could possibly get, make the best decision that we had at the time regarding our player safety and our staff safety. I'm going to speak to them at this point, more so than our fans, once we stopped obviously playing games. There was a point in time after the season was suspended where our players still could technically access our practice facilities and work out. And we got to a point I think we had prepared a whole protocol on a Saturday night, tweaked it on a Sunday night. We're prepared to have our players come back in the building on a Monday. And late Sunday night, we all sort of gathered on a call and said, what are we doing? There's no indication that we're playing basketball anytime soon, certainly not for the next 30, 60 days. Why are we jeopardizing anybody's health by having them come in and get 200 shots up? It doesn't make sense. It's not only for the player, but for the staff member that's got to be here, for the person in the facility that's got to be here to enable that person to come in and work out. And so we actually made the decision on a voluntary basis to suspend those activities before the league told us 24 hours later they were shutting down all practice facilities. So I just say that from the standpoint that the plans that we thought were in place on a Sunday night, we changed an hour later. And all that is to say the best laid plans, you can spend all this time trying to think proactively about anything that you can do to keep your people safe. You also have to be nimble enough to throw that in the wastebasket, come up with something else an hour later because there's new information and a new dynamic and new things that you need to be prepared for. So I just say that the biggest thing for us has been to be adaptable and roll with the punches, so to speak, and make sure we take all the new information in and distribute the best plan we can possibly come up with. The other thing that I would say is, and I go back to Adam Silver's leadership. Adam is presiding over a massive business with 30 people who are successes in their own rights as owners and have built their own massive businesses. And Adam has been comfortable in his own skin to say to those 30 people at times, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. We don't know. I respect the hell out of that from a leadership perspective to be able to say, I don't know. And so in much the same breath, we have had to say, let's not let perfect be the enemy of really, 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 really good. Let's be comfortable telling our people, we don't know either. And so we're going to come up with the best possible plan based on the information that we have and be ready for us to tweak it the next day if something else comes down the line.
What about for you, Jeff? What kind of conversations are you guys having in that regard?
So the very first day after the NBA had the outbreak, I want to say it was a Wednesday in March, Jason, but the 18th, right. I think it was, or something like that?
13th, I think, yep.
13th, and we had an all-staff meeting the next day, and we said, all right, work from home. We could see sports were shutting down. And I remember pulling my staff together at an all-staff meeting at 9 o'clock the next morning, that Thursday morning. And I said, the most important thing right now is the golden rule of healthcare and safety. And the golden rule is, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Well, that now extends to not only protecting your health, but being mindful to protect the health of others. Because what we knew that morning was 50% of people that tested positive for COVID were actually asymptomatic. And in our business, there's a lot of young people. And there's a lot of young people who could be symptomatic who didn't even know it. And, for some of us older folks that work in the office, it's not just about your health. I'm depending on you to protect my health. That morning, I think we had 3 or 4 production crews in distant cities because we do 3 NBA teams, 2 NHL teams. I think we had the Hurricanes were in Canada. I forget where the Hawks were, whatever. So our next biggest concern was getting those people home, getting them safe, getting them quarantined because – that those very first few hours, you really did not know how widespread this was. And what you did know is a lot of people that have it were asymptomatic. Fortunately, it turns out none of the people that were traveling on those planes had it. However, we did have some producers and some other people that got it. Some had a relatively, I use the word relatively, good recovery. But some said it was brutal. I mean, it was brutal. And I know one person in Detroit was severely hospitalized, I think, in an induced coma working for our sister station in Detroit. So safety has always been the first thing. Looking forward, there's going to be significant changes in how we do production. We have amassed, I can't even tell you how many gallons of disinfectant, how many face masks, how many gloves, how many sanitizers, how many sanitizer wipes. We have custom measured and are ordering plexiglass wall dividers for tight workspaces. As Matt and Jason know, a production control room, you know, you have a producer and a director and a technical director sit almost elbow to elbow. Whether it's in a control room or in a TV truck, there's now going to be a plexiglass wall between them. Headsets that used to get shared by everyone thrown into a box, you know, we just spent $15,000 buying everyone their own set of headsets. So now you don't share them communally. You have your own and you take them with you and you bring them to you. And, you know, so those types of practices, which frankly are good practices, you know, have been introduced and there'll be more. But it's, you know, I am very proud to say our company and, you know, people know our history. We're still Fox branded, but in the last 24 months, we were sold to Disney and then sold again to Sinclair Broadcasting. And Sinclair Broadcasting actually acquired the Fox branded regional sports networks last August. You know, think about that. You know, they acquire us in August, and 7 months later, the world of sports shuts down. And they've been unbelievably fantastic in protecting not only the jobs and the welfare of the employees, but first and foremost, the safety of the employees.
Same question for you, Matt.
Yeah, I think those are all those are great points by Jeff. And I want to go back to touch on something that Jason talked about in terms of fluidity, in terms of the game plan and the ability to change. I think that's one of the reasons that Gary Bettman, when he announced phase two yesterday for the NHL, he, you know, left dates off because this is still a very fluid situation. I think from the Coyotes standpoint, they'll probably piggyback a lot of what the National Hockey League has done in terms of standards and tailor them to our arena, our fans. I think some of the early challenges when fans come back is the ingress and egress. If you, you know, maintain the 6 feet, that's going to take a very, very long time to get fans in and out. But I think the NHL, you know, it's online. You can look it up. But their whole memorandum outlining phase two, I thought was tremendous. I remember 2 days ago I was reading and I'm thinking to myself, geez, I would have never thought of that. I would have never thought about that. Well, that too. You know, so there's, you know, first and foremost, it's the safety of the fans. It's making sure that we can get them into an environment where they can enjoy the game and feel safe. And not only the safety issue, but I think the psychology of knowing that when you go back to the arena, you're going to be safe. Now, from a broadcaster's standpoint, Jeff was bringing up the partitions. That's all very legit. I'll give you an example of our situation at Gila River Arena in Glendale. Our booth, we have a camera person. We usually have an A1 hanging around. We've got our stage manager who's in close proximity. My stats guy sits to my left, and Tyson Nash, our analyst, sits to my right, and we're well within 6 feet of separation as it stood prior to the break. Now, a lot of those games at home, Tyson will go down and be between the benches. Will that even be allowed? Will that be a concern? Maybe it's a concern coming back with all of the players there. Maybe Tyson would have a personal concern doing that. So I think that's all going to be interesting. And Jeff is spot on, like when it comes to headsets and things like that. I've got a wonderful stage manager here in Arizona. She sprays everything down. She sanitizes it. It's a big part of her preparation. And so we've been fortunate there. So all the little things, all the way up to the big things of getting fans in, making them feel safe and making sure that they're safe. The one thing that I think we have going for us is, you know, from the NHL model, it's let's get the players back and ensure their safety and all the personnel that are going to whatever hub city it is. And I think we will have, there's enough runway to really come up with some good, solid, significant policies leading into next season. So we have time on our side. But again, like Jason said, we're going to have to be very nimble and it's going to be very fluid.
Yeah, I would add to Matt's comment, you know, things you just simply take for granted. The walk-off interview at halftime, you know, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, where you know, the sideline reporter that Jason was, you know, years ago when he worked for me, and he wore a shirt and tie at the time. He, his job was to put a stick mic in a player's face and ask him a question about what just happened. I think that is going to, you're not going to see that for a long time. I really do. I think, you know, there's going to be a buffer around getting that close to players. It might be with a 6-foot wand and a mic on the end of it, but you may not see for a long time, you know, the Holly Rowe, walk-off interview, coach tell me this, leaning in for the answer because the arena is loud. I mean, all those little things are all being revisited.
Pretty insightful stuff, right? Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, I am playing for you guys audio from a webinar series that I moderated entitled The Future of Sports, put on by the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences here at Michigan State University, chatting with Jeff Gintner, Senior VP and GM of four Atlanta-based regional sports networks, Jason Hillman, who is the basketball chief of staff / team counsel for the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers, and Matt McConnell, who is the play-by-play announcer for the NHL's Phoenix Coyotes, all MSU grads. We'll continue this webinar discussion right after we hit this first break. When we come back, I got the chance to, of course, field questions from those who tuned in to that webinar series earlier this week, and you'll get a chance to hear what questions were asked by the public. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. The conversation continues here on the show as I'm giving you guys a peek into how my time during this webinar series put on by the college here at Michigan State University. Shout out to the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences for putting together this webinar series. This week's topic entitled The Future of Sports, and I was the moderator of a panel that included Jeff Gintner of Fox Sports. He is the Senior VP and GM of four Fox Sports Atlanta-based regional sports networks. Jason Hillman, basketball chief of staff / team counsel for the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers, and also Matt McConnell, who is the play-by-play announcer for the NHL's Phoenix Coyotes, all MSU grads. So you heard a bit of what they had to say concerning what the future of sports could look like. And now I want to roll in the section where we actually took questions from the public, those who submitted questions, and those who hopped into the live chat as well. And here's how that went.
This question comes from Jim, and he's got a question for Jason. How could liability insurance be a hurdle for teams or leagues trying to open arenas and facilities? How could this affect fan attendance and engagement? And would there be league-wide coverage, or is this handled individually, state by state, for each team and league? So that's a loaded question, Jason. We'll just kind of comb through it. Go ahead.
So a lot to unpack there. It's a great question. I think it start with a couple of the principles. So most leagues, most teams have league-wide insurance for aspects relative to their operation of their arenas for games. I don't want to presume what the NHL has in mat sport, but in basketball, we have a separate insurance provider that handles anything associated with our NBA games, and then separate coverage for example, a concert that would come through Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse or an American Hockey League game or something of that nature. You then have to separate what is going to be the difference state by state. So you're going to have an individual patchwork of state by state laws and rules and regulations, including potential immunity for businesses related to COVID. There's a bill that is pending in Ohio right now that would provide businesses immunity from litigation, civil litigation, for people that are exposed to COVID, so long as those businesses are not engaging in, you know, the standard would be some type of gross recklessness, willful, intentional conduct, things of that nature. So as long as your businesses are doing what has been universally recommended, whether it's by the CDC, science, general standards of good practice, all the things that we're talking about doing, social distancing, limiting every other row, whatever the case may be, taking out maybe buffet service for food service, things of that nature. So long as you are providing those standards, plenty of hand sanitizer, things of that nature, you are most likely not acting recklessly, willfully, negligently. And from that standpoint, at least in Ohio under this bill, you would be immune from litigation associated with COVID-19. So that is going to be a function of state-by-state regulation. I probably just explained a lot more than Jeff Gentner ever thought I would be capable of explaining when he hired me as a reporter when I was 23 years old. But that's what law school does for you, Jeff.
And speaking of Jeff, this question also comes from Jim. And you kind of touched on this a little bit. What changes do you see in the broadcasting of events once sports returns? Also, do you see some of those changes carrying forward as potential cost-cutting moves once we do return to some kind of normalcy, i.e. production crew, announcers not on site, that kind of thing? You did touch on a few of that, but can you elaborate?
Yeah, so real quick, we anticipate the return of hockey and the return of basketball requiring us to take someone else's produced pool feed, as I said earlier. So we'll get images and we'll get nat sound, whatever natural sound is coming out of the arena. And we will have, you know, our Matt McConnells and our play-by-play and whatever sit in front of it. We'll insert graphics remotely. For the baseball season, my understanding is the plan is the home team will provide that pool feed. So if the Braves are playing the Diamondbacks in Atlanta, we will produce the game at game site. Very, very limited number of people allowed inside the stadium. The TV truck will be closed and locked, not physically locked, but you can't go into it, so that we can protect the people inside the truck. And then what Arizona will take for the Coyotes side is they'll take what we call a clean feed. They'll get the pictures and the sound, and the Coyotes announcers will probably be in Phoenix, and we'll call that game off of a television monitor in Phoenix, and that's where the graphics will be inserted. For those of us that have been in the business a while, it's actually what's called a back bench, meaning that the Phoenix television will still have one or two dedicated cameras. So if we're shooting the Braves dugout, they can shoot the Coyotes dugout. The Diamondbacks. And I think, you know, that's what will happen with sport. Latter part of the question is, I think that is what we need to do to get sports back on the field, get sports back on television. I do not anticipate at all those practices setting the new normal. Those are still health practices as opposed to production standards. And I think we are ready, willing, and able to abide by all those health practices as long as necessary. But we're in the business of entertaining, and we're in the business of going bigger and more robust. And so as the health standards get relaxed, whether there's a vaccine or whatever, you know, we are anxious to do a much more fully blown production.
And Jeff, side note, I'm just curious here, because there's been talks about possibly pumping in fake crowd noise into arenas and stadiums. What's your stance on that? I'm curious.
Well, it's funny. We did two town halls with two of our three NBA partners. So I'm not going to say which teams were on there, but the CEO or the vice chairman of the team, along with our broadcasters and one player, participated on one team, and we did it to all of our team sponsors. So we had, you know, 20, a Zoom room like this, you know, 20 of our clients there. And that particular CEO said, oh yeah, we want to capture the energy. We're going to pump in crowd noise because we want the players on the court when there's a slam dunk to hear the cheers and everything else. And then the very next day, we had a similar session with another NBA team, and their CEO was on the call along with our broadcasters and one of their players. And I said, well, you know, yesterday we did this call and they're going to pump in crowd noise. And like, I got these faces, like they all just sucked on a lemon. Like, that's the craziest idea I've ever heard. So I don't know if it's going to be a league-wide initiative. I can see Jason laughing in the upper corner of Hollywood Squares here. I don't know what your plans are in Cleveland, but I don't know if it's going to be a team-by-team thing or a league-wide thing. Jason, I ask you that question.
It's a great question. I mean, it's actually a timely question too, because just last week, we were charged by our marketing, top marketing executive to talk to our players and find out what our players would envision in a fanless environment. What would they want as part of their normal? Is it the, you know, da 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 da, is it that? Is it some music? Is it, you know, what elements of our game presentation would they still want preserved in order to be participating in sort of a normal as possible game environment? It's really, really interesting. I read something this morning by a referee who was talking about how they were going to have to tailor their discussions, not only with their fellow officials, but with assistants on the bench and things of nature, because now all of a sudden those discussions can be heard. And keep going back to Jeff remembers, I'm going back to 1995 when the Detroit Tigers were not all that good. There weren't a whole lot of folks in Tiger Stadium. You could hear everything that the home plate umpire was saying to Kirk Gibson in the batter's box from the broadcast position in Tiger Stadium. So everybody's going to have to be a little bit more careful what they say with no fans in the building.
But it'll make for great television.
Great TV. Great TV.
I think it's always funny how many times has the player said, oh, I never hear what they're saying. I never hear the crowd when I'm playing. Well, I think we're going to find that out. I know in hockey it's going to be real important in the warm-up, you know, things like that. But will it really be the case? Are they telling us the truth? Oh, I really don't hear the crowd. I just go out and play my game.
Yeah, very true. All right, man, I got one for you. This one also, Jim is just dominating our question submissions right now. And he says also on a personal note, thank you, Matt, for teaching me everything I know about sportscasting. So I don't know what Jim this could be, but
I'm so sorry, Jim.
Jim, yeah, thank you. All right. How would play-by-play, and again, you've touched on a little bit of this as well, Matt, how would play-by-play and all media change if you're not allowed into arenas and have to call games remotely off a monitor, potentially with your analysts not in the same space as you? So maybe you want to just expound upon a bit of the point you've already made.
Yeah, well, you know, from the analyst point of view, we've already had that a little bit, Al, with and Jim, with, you know, having the analyst between the benches and the play-by-play guy up in the broadcast booth. So in terms of a cadence and a rhythm and all of that kind of stuff, we're through that. We're pretty good there. But in terms of, you know, just in terms of calling games off monitors and that, I know from a hockey standpoint, you know, imagine, if you will, when you're looking at the ice, or, you know, if it's basketball or baseball, baseball, you're probably seeing like this. Hockey, it's really a 180 angle when you're looking at the ice. From a monitor, you're probably looking at a 60, 70 degree angle. One of the thoughts that we had, my game producer for the Arizona Coyotes, he said, he asked me, if we call let's say the games are in Vegas or somewhere and we're doing them remotely, would you have any interest in calling them from your home broadcast booth and having us raise the arena scoreboard up to the level of the booth and use that as your main monitor to call the games? And I started thinking about it, and I'm thinking, hey, maybe that's not a bad idea, because the scoreboard is massive. It goes from blue line to blue line. But in terms of talking to coaches, in terms of talking to players, my question is, how are we going to generate sound? Are we have an 8-2 at a practice that's going to be able to shoot maybe something from a podium, so you have the physical distancing? How is all of that going to work? The other thing is, coaches have their routines. So, you know, normally in hockey, after a morning skate, Rick Tocchet will just go into the hallway, stand in front of the Coyotes banner, and we'll go back and forth, and you know, everybody will get what they need. You know, now all of a sudden you have to schedule that time with the coach. And if it's on game day, the coach probably is going to have other things more pressing to do. You know what I mean? And it's not going to be a big priority of him to talk to you on his cell phone or whatever. So are we going to have regularity when it comes to access to coach? What about the players? how do you facilitate that? You know, some players are a little more standoffish. Some players go right from the morning skate to the meal to the nap, you know. So I think all those things, bottom line, it'd be harder, but all things considered, I think you have to figure, well, okay, we're back playing. That's a good thing. Could be a lot worse. And, you know, it's great to hear Jeff's comments about, you know, the future. So I think the way I'm going to look at it is do as best as you can, understanding that it's a tough circumstance, it is temporary, and then we can regroup.
All right. Yes, thank you for that, Jim, and great answer, Matt. Final question submission here before I get to many questions that are coming in via our live chat right now during this session. Jason, this one's for you. This comes from Adam. While most, if not all, sports teams travel via a private plane, how do you envision managing hotel stays for athletes during this pandemic?
Well, that's a great question. You know, that we are, at the end of the day, at the mercy of those people that are taking care of us, whether it's in a hotel, a restaurant, a plane. You know, the good thing is that, you know, most professional sports teams are staying at 4- and 5-star hotels where the standards are already off the charts. I would expect those to be heightened even more so as part of, I think we've used the phrase a million times, that new normal, and whether that's all of a sudden walking into a hotel and instead of being greeted by some fancy sculpture, you're going to be greeted by a hand sanitizer stand and Purell, things of that nature. And that's going to become second nature. I would anticipate for some time being things like a team brunch, and Matt's probably seen these a million times on the road, is you go back to the hotel, a team brunch, whether it's after the morning skate or in our case, after a morning practice or a shoot around, that's essentially a buffet style, you know, meal. Those things are probably things of the past, at least for some time. And all of a sudden it's going to be room service and things like that from an individual perspective. At the end of the day, there will be standards that we insist upon, and we'll be the ones to check whether or not those are being met and those are being complied with. And all of a sudden there's competition out there like anything else. And if we feel like someone is doing it safer and doing a better job of maintaining that as the highest standard, then we'll choose that. And maybe all of a sudden for the time being, it's not the nicest location. It's the one that keeps us the safest. I would see that being at a premium for the next, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Insightful, to say the least, right? I want to give a big shout out to, again, the College of Communication Arts and Sciences here at Michigan State University for having me a part of that Com Art Sci Talk webinar series. Again, this week's topic, of course, entitled The Future of Sports Pivoting in the Pandemic. Much love to the college. I absolutely love doing events like that, and I learned so much, as I'm sure many of you did, just by sitting there and listening to that. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a brief bow on this week's current sports. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We are now out of time. I just want to tell you guys, you know, it's been a really weird week. You know, not only are we dealing with the pandemic, but for those who tuned in to yesterday's Current Sports, you guys know I tackled a pretty heavy topic that has really impacted many African Americans here in this nation, including myself, of course, and that was the killing of George Floyd. Caught on camera, George Floyd killed at the hands of law enforcement. And it has sparked up just so much conversation and rioting and protests, not just in Minneapolis, but across the nation. And, you know, my heart is heavy. I can't lie to you guys. I just want to leave you all with some positive words. Let's love on one another. Let's come together as a nation, as a society. And let's just be better people, man. With that, be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.